Pastor Lawrence is away, so you get me today. The last time I had the opportunity to preach here, he gave me about 3 days' notice. So this time he gave me a week. So keep Lawrence in your prayers. As many of you know, his grandmother passed away and they had to go back to Saskatchewan to go for the funeral. So, and I made a deal a long time ago with the Lord that if I'm ever asked to preach, I wouldn't say no. So here I am. So we're going to be continuing on with our series on the book of Matthew. When I saw last week that this was the next passage that we were going to be studying, I thought, wow, this is great. This is awesome. And I have a New King James Bible at home, it's a big book, and it's got wide margins and stuff, and I had a little note taken in there, preached on Father's Day 2001, and I'm thinking, that was the last time I heard this sermon. It was, and it had to do with the Father's love for the Son. I didn't have any notes for it, so I had to come up with something fresh for today. So if you have your Bibles, let us turn to Matthew chapter 3, 13 to 17. And if you would stand, it is in tradition with our church to honor the Word of God. Matthew 3, 13 to 17 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so now. So it is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased.'" You may be seated. Father, I pray that as we look into your word, that you would illuminate our hearts and that you would illuminate our minds. Father, your word has the power to transform lives and to transform souls. It is the word of truth. And as we go through today, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here and speak to each one of us individually as well as corporately, Lord. We love you, we honor you, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, early on in my Christian walk, I did a course. It was a correspondence course. Now, a correspondence course for new people would be an online course. You had to order it through the mail. The books and all the curriculum would come through the mail. And it was a New Testament survey on the Gospels, on all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And ever since I did this course, I've always looked at the Gospels as kind of one package. When you start to look at the different stories, some of the stories are in there. They have one, there's only the one part in that Gospel that talks about what happened in that significant event. Other parts, there's two. Other parts, there's three. And there's some parts in the Gospels that are covered by, that are covered in all four sections. This is one of those sections, the baptism of Jesus. I want to show you what I mean. Greg, if you'd come and help me for a second. There you go. Hi, Greg. Hi, all right. This is a beach ball. I just bought that at the dollar store the other day. Now, Greg, describe that. Describe what you see.
Well, you have a very nice red, yellow, and blue beach ball. I can see it.
And you are absolutely right. But from where I'm standing, I see a white, orange, and green beach ball.
No, it's red, yellow, and blue.
No, it's white, orange, and green.
Well, if you think so.
You see, none of us are wrong. Awesome. Thanks, Greg. Neither one of us are wrong, but just our perspectives are a little bit different. The same thing happens with crime scene investigation. If there's an accident, the police will gather up the witnesses and take down their statements. And each gospel has something different to say or something to add to the story. Now, it's amazing because they Matthew, Mark, and Luke look at the ball. But it's funny because John kind of looks out elsewhere and shows a different picture. In John came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized, is what Matthew says. But Mark adds in that he came from Nazareth of Galilee. It kind of pinpoints it in a little bit closer. And the next two verses, these are authentic to Matthew's gospel. It says, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And then when we look at Mark's gospel, he adds something as well. He adds that this is when Jesus' public ministry began. This was day one for Jesus. This is where it began. And it also says that Jesus was about 30 years of age. Now, if you haven't done a Harmony of the Gospels, I would encourage you. I have a book here called Harmony of the Gospels by Robert L. Thomas and Stanley N. Gundry. This is a great book to have in your library for a study tool if you're looking at the Gospels. It takes and it lines up the Gospels so that you can see it all the way through. If you want to come and have a look at it after the service, you're welcome to come and do that. So, Jesus was baptized. John had some reluctancy in Matthew's gospel of baptizing Jesus. He recognized Jesus' superior authority. Have you ever been reluctant on something that you knew was coming? In John's gospel, it says that he was giving a sign of what would happen, of things that would come. Have you ever been reluctant on something? I'll be honest, sometimes I'm reluctant when I preach. You see, there are some great theologians in this room, probably even more than me. And I've received so much grace from this place, but I'm also accountable to God. And the scriptures say that it would be better for me to hang a millstone from my neck and be thrown into the depths of the sea than to lead one of these young ones astray. It also says that I will come under a stricter judgment, that those who decide to teach will come under a stricter judgment. It's like, whoa, that's heavy, dude. But yet here I am, because of my passion and my love for Jesus Christ. He is my Lord, he is my Savior, and I put my trust fully in him. See, it was told to John that there would be a sign that when he baptized the Messiah, the image of a dove or a dove would descend upon him. He was told to look for this sign. This is visible evidence of the Spirit power on Christ, the Spirit's power on Christ. Authentication of the Son by the Father. It is really cool how the Holy Trinity is involved at this time. See, there was Jesus, the Son, being baptized, the dove, which was the Holy Spirit, descending on him, and the voice from heaven, which was God. The reasons for his baptism. In John 1:34, it says, I have seen and testify that this is God's chosen one. This is John speaking. This is God's chosen one. It identified him with sinners, with people like you and me. Hebrews 2:16 and 17 says, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this is the reason he had been made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become the merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He was able to help those who are being tempted. He is able to help those being tempted because he was tempted. Let me ask you, what are you being tempted with? Who are you when nobody's looking? Jesus knows temptation. And temptation comes to all of us. It's like a fishing hook and a fish. It looks so good, so tantalizing. I gotta bite it. But then it gets you, and it reels you in. No one's immune to it. I know of pastors that have fallen into immorality. I've known pastors that have fallen because of finances, their greed. Everyone is susceptible to sin, and I encourage you, please, please pray for your leaders. Be accountable to somebody. Be accountable to your brothers and sisters here in the church. Find someone that you trust, an accountability partner that you can share with. Jesus knows how to get into the depths of your heart and deal with your issues. That abuse that you have suffered at the hands of someone else, Jesus can handle it. That addiction that you are dealing with, Jesus can handle it. When you're scrolling through your phone and you go down a rabbit trail, looking at things that you shouldn't be, Jesus can handle it. When you don't feel like you quite measure up, Jesus can handle it. Jesus can set you free and leave those things in the past. His baptism also declared his cleanness, not cleansing, as a pure lamb of sacrifice. In the Old Testament, they would take a lamb and they would slaughter it, and they would put the blood on the doorpost, and the angel would come across and pass over the people. Jesus was a pure sacrifice, the one-time sacrifice for sin. That if we put our trust in him, he will take away our sin. And it also marked his public empowering by the Spirit. John 1:32 to 33 says, "Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but one who has sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" So John was told beforehand. Now, it was interesting to me because it says that John says he did not know Jesus. But as we have looked earlier on in this study, that Mary, Jesus' mother, and Elizabeth were related. So it says that John didn't know him. So one of two things. He either didn't know who Jesus was, just through they never ever connected. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt, came back to Nazareth. And John was, his parents in the scriptures say that they were very old. So I think it is safe to assume that they died quite early on in his life. And we don't know what happened to him. But we do know that he was a strong believer, that he had a very strong relationship with God, that they asked him if he was Jesus. The scribes and the Pharisees asked if he was Jesus. They asked if he was Elijah. And he said, "No, I'm just a voice in the wilderness. Make straight the path of the Lord." And it also fulfilled all righteousness. Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." So John consented. John knew it was coming. He recognized Jesus' superiority, and he consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, the heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and aligning on him. So it's a very significant event for several reasons. In the Harmony of the Gospels, the book that I just showed you, it says, "His baptism was different from the baptism of others because he had not sinned and did not need to repent. It was a sign of who Jesus was, that he was the Messiah. He was the chosen one. And by it, he became publicly identified with a group who John recognized as morally prepared for the kingdom." He identified with the people that were baptized by John. And it was recognized by two other Old Testament sources as a formal beginning of Christ's public ministry. This was day one. And this is, and when God spoke, this is one of three times in the Gospels where God's voice could be heard audibly. The second was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." And then again, when Jesus came into Jerusalem in his final week, he said, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. These are significant moments. I've never heard God's voice audibly. I've heard that still small voice in my heart and in my head. It brings me comfort, it brings me peace, and it brings me joy. I know when I get grumbly, when I get frustrated, there was one time I heard this still small voice saying, "Kelly, the voices that you're hearing aren't coming from me." And I had to think about it. I was thinking thoughts of anger, condemning. I'm like, whoa. I was driving a dump truck. and this just came across to me. It's like, wow. If God was speaking to me, he'd be talking about his love, his perfect love for his people, for his chosen ones. So we're going to shift a little bit. Jesus was baptized. It was his day one. Baptism is a public statement. If do you have that video queued up? I was gonna take and explain this. I watched a video by Rick Warren, who's the pastor of Saddleback Church, and I was gonna take a bunch of notes and just quote what he had said, but I'm gonna show you guys the video instead. So if you can play that.
It's exciting. A lot of people are going to get baptized.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, yay!
Oh, yeah! Yeah. All right, let me have your attention. Let's hold hands. We'll have a word of prayer. We have a bunch of baptized today. Father, we want to thank you for these who are making their public statement today, saying, "I'm not ashamed to say I love the Lord." We ask you to bless them and give them a special day. May they never forget this day, just like the day that I remember I was baptized. I thank you for their lives. I ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Baptism is a picture of two things. First, it's a picture of what Jesus did, how he was buried in the ground for 3 days and then rose again. And so I take a person and I put him under the water, leave him there 3 days. Just, if they come up alive, then we know that they really believe. No, I'm just kidding. So it's a picture of Jesus. The reason we baptize under water is in the Bible, baptism was a picture of a burial and a death and a resurrection. Baptism is also a picture of what happens to us when we become Christians. The Bible says when anyone becomes a Christian, they become a new person inside. The old has passed away and the new has come. Sins washed away, wiped out, beginning a brand new life. Baptism doesn't make you saved. It doesn't save you. It shows that you are saved. It doesn't make you a Christian. It shows you are a Christian. I call it the wedding ring of the Christian life. This ring doesn't make me married. This ring just shows I'm married. What made me married is not this ring. What made me married is the vow I made in my heart. One day I said two words in front of a bunch of people to my wife. I said the words, "I do." When I said those two words, I had no idea what I was doing. And the rest of my life, in fact, for 38 years, I've been working out the implications of those two words, "I do." And Kay often reminds me, that's part of the "I do." I go, "That's included, and that's in the fine print, yeah." So I grew into my commitment. I just said, I'm in. I love you, and I'm in. I didn't understand all about marriage, parenting. I'm in. One day I said the same thing to Jesus Christ. I said two words. I do. I said, I don't understand it all. I don't know all the Bible. I don't know all the theology. I just love Jesus. I'm in. And the rest of my life, I'm learning the implications of that. So baptism doesn't mean you're all grown-up Christian. It just means you're saying, I'm not ashamed to say to the world, I love the Lord. I call baptism coming out of the closet for Jesus. A little boy asked me one time, said, Pastor Rick, when can I get advertised? I like that, because that's what baptism is. It's an advertisement for Jesus. It's an advertisement that says, I am not ashamed to say, I love God. And I'm not ashamed to say, there's no way I'm getting into heaven on my own effort. I got to have grace. I got to have forgiveness. I got to have somebody die for my sins, because I can't make it on my own. So this water is not holy water. It's just water. It's nice warm water, but it's not. This is not holy. What's holy is the faith of the people. That's why you can baptize anywhere, any place, any time. What matters is the faith of the people. Now, you guys, those of you who are going to be baptized, when you get baptized, because this water is kind of low, I'm going to have you kneel down. Once you come into the baptistry here, kneel down. You can put your hands like this. If you want to hold your nose, that's okay. It's not like more spiritual one way or the other. So whichever one's comfortable for you. After you get baptized, we'll help you out. We take a picture of you and a certificate that I've already signed that's ready. I just signed them just now so that you can have a record of your baptism. Now, baptism is a celebration, so when they come out of the water, we always kind of cheer and saddleback because it's a party. The Bible says there's a party in heaven every time one person steps across the line, and so we celebrate that. Now, for you guys, the test of unconditional love is, will you hug them before they get dried off? All right? Okay. So, why don't you come on in? Who's going to come first?
That's right. This is Michael.
Michael, come on in. Michael, everybody say hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Michael. All right, turn around here. Michael, if you turn around here, kneel right here. You'll kneel.
When I got baptized, it was in a foam, styrofoam, like a hot tub, a portable hot tub. And the same thing, I had to get on my knees because the water was only about that deep. Except I was kneeling back a little bit too far. So when he asked me if I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and said, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, my head kind of hit the back of the styrofoam pool, and I thought that he'd kind of take and reposition me. But then I felt his hand push down on my chest. He was getting her done. And I came out, and my spiritual walk just went poof. I went from wondering, investigating, to giving my life to the Lord, to becoming baptized and saying, Lord, I'm in. I'm in. To discipling. To investing in you, investing in the people that I work with, being an example to those that I work with. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it gets kind of raunchy. But yet everyone knows that who I am. They know that I'm a believer. I had a conversation with a guy. He asked, what are you doing this weekend? Well, let me tell you. I got to write a sermon on Saturday so that I can come and preach it on Sunday. Oh, I said, you might think that's kind of weird. He said, oh, no, I don't think that's weird at all. I'm like, cool. That's awesome. But Jesus transformed my life. I like what Rick Warren said. It's like coming out of the closet for Jesus. Not being afraid to say that Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Savior, and I put my trust in Him. I shared a story a couple of years ago. Some of you might remember it. But it was a story that my mother-in-law told me. They used to be ranchers out in Tulamine. Tulamine is over by Princeton, and they usually had about 100 head of cattle. And in the springtime, the cattle would go up into the range, and in the fall, they would all come back down off of the range into the fields where they could be fed. they would keep careful documentation of the cows that came in off the range by looking at their ear tags. And they realized that there were three cows that were missing. They went up into the range and looking for them, and there was nothing. They waited, but yet these three cows never showed up. And there was another rancher quite some distance away. Someone suggested that maybe they should just go and see them. And maybe the cows came down off the range into their pasture. So they did. They went over, and they asked the guy if he had some extra cows that came in off the range. And he said, no, we didn't have any extra cows. But as they were talking, there were some cows that were paying attention. They could hear their voices, and their heads came up from grazing. All the other cows were still grazing, but their heads came up. But they were wearing different ear tags. And they said, are you sure? Because these cows look different. These ones over here are different. And they said, yeah, I'm sure. So they went and looked at them, and they said, well, you know, we want to see their brand. A brand is a way of identifying the cows. So they took the cows, they separated them, and they had some shears, and they shaved off where the brand was. And sure enough, they were my mother-in-law's cows. Why do ranchers brand their cattle? So that when they're looking across the field, they can say, that one's mine. So is that one right there. That one belongs to me. That one up there, that one's mine. Some of us here today bear the marks of Christ. We know without a question or a doubt that we belong to him. My challenge today, if you are a believer in Christ, have you been baptized? Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you publicly confessed that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? He is worthy. He can help you with your issues. I can't promise you that your life will get better. In fact, sometimes it gets harder. But we know where we're going through eternity. Father, you are amazing. You have called us out. I pray, Lord, that there be a stirring in our hearts, and that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name. Worship team, if you'd come.